Righty, that's beautiful. Amen. Amen. Okay, Junior Church, you're dismissed and walk over there carefully now. Before you go home tonight, you adjust those mics where you want them. Okay, and tell those people to stay off those volume buttons back there. Okay? Well, glory to be. Well, I tell you, it's a beautiful Lord's Day. I appreciate that 53-degree weather. Makes me want to get my camouflage, you know. But I can't. That's idolatry. That's what we're going to be preaching on this morning. Idolatry, deer hunting, guns and ammunition. All that. I'm just teasing. Amen. Well, Nicole, you ready to have that baby? It's Tuesday, ain't it? Amen. Amen. Can't wait. I know you're waiting to get that baby born. Man, when I was born, the whole hospital celebrated. It's alive! Oh, Lord, help me this morning. Wow. The highest aspiration of the human soul and mind must be to know the one and true and living God. You know, I thank God, I've said it a million times, I thank God that I'm saved. I don't know, I'd probably be in some casino somewhere if I was lost. Amen. I do thank God. And we need to serve Him wholeheartedly. I'm talking about with a heart and our soul and our mind. We know based on the 2 Kings chapter 17, verse 33, God describes a backslidden Israel. They worship God, but also they serve their own gods. The God of pleasure, the God of wood and stone, the God of gold and silver. And that describes America to a T. Amen. Amen. When people no longer believe in God, they're believing anything. They'll start hugging trees and start believing in the crystal balls and the tarot cards and all this other false religion in the underworld, so to speak. They'll start giving advice of so-called psychology where they got their degree from Walmart. Lord help us. Amen. And they'll start questioning the very existence of Almighty God. Now along those lines, this morning we'll be preaching on Christ is the door. Christ is the door. So with me, along those lines, stand in respect of the reading of the Holy Word of God. Let's turn in John chapter 10, the Gospel of John, a good book to read. I tell you, I get fired up when I just skim through the pages. Because He is a great shepherd, the good shepherd. He is the chief shepherd. John chapter 10, let's look at, begin to this morning, look at verse number 1. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. Notice verse 7. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, or you could just say he's saying, truly, truly, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that even ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for steal and to kill and to destroy. But I come that they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Heavenly gracious Father, we bow before you, Father, as our great shepherd, as our Savior, Father. We bow with open arms and asking and pleading the blood of Christ on the message that you stir our hearts today, dear Lord. Thank you for your Spirit, dear Lord. Thank you for the gift of eternal life that was freely given to us. That's what grace is all about, God's riches at Christ's expense. It's unmerited favor that someone did for us that we don't have to pay back. We thank you, Father, for our salvation. Thank you for becoming the door. And thank you for allowing us to come through that door, for we have the privilege to say, I love you, Father. Listen to our hearts today, Father. In God's precious name I pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated, please. Seven times in the Bible you'll find the word religion mentioned. Only seven times. One of those is found in the book of James, chapter 1, verse 26. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridle not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is in vain. Now, when you use the word religion, we think of something good. You ask a person, are you saved? Oh, yes, I'm a very religious person. What's that got to do with you going to heaven? Now, y'all stay with me this morning. This is a very important message. It'll help you to distinguish between religion and Christianity. We got a whole bunch of religion outside these doors. And I tell you, listen, religion is sending the most people to hell today than anything there is on this planet. There's only one way to God and to heaven, that is through Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. And shame on that old devil. Religion will send that person straight down yonder. Now please, there's over what, 4,000 religions now, probably more. I don't know. All I know, the last count report I got was like 3,800. That was like 5 years ago. Religion says man must do something to get to heaven, join something to get to heaven. Religion is man trying to reach God by his fruit of works. Christ says he is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man could get to heaven, come to the Father, except by me. That's in John chapter 14, verse 6. Christianity now is God reaching down to man by his grace. There's a big difference. We know religion began in Genesis chapter 3. When Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, they had eaten from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and God has asked them not to do that. Their eyes came open, sin entering into the human race. So you're sitting there this morning with sin in your veins just like me. Amen? They ended up sowing some fig leaves, trying to hide their sin, trying to hide their disobedience. And God, listen, don't you think that made God upset? Now think about it. Don't you think after many, many years, and finally he said, I want to do something. I think I'm going to make man in my own image. Genesis 11, let us make man us. He said us. And that's the Trinity, the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Let us make man in our own image. Don't you think that broke God's heart? Amen. How many of us this morning have broken God's heart because of our disobedience? It's a crying shame sometimes. We come here preaching good singing and we meet good people and we go right out that door. Within 2 hours, you're fighting amongst yourselves. God help our churches. God help our families. Y'all remember the story of Cain and Abel? By faith, Abel brought an animal sacrifice, a blood sacrifice. Not Cain. Cain had to go to, he ended up getting some squash and stuff, the fruit of the ground. And God rejected Cain's offering. That's why was Cain's offering rejected? Because Abel's offering, Abel's offering was accepted. What was the difference? One was yea, one was nay. What was it? Because Abel brought a animal sacrifice. A blood sacrifice. And here it comes. Through faith. Not of works. And Cain said, look what I did. I got your whole basket full of cucumbers. It doesn't work that way, church. That's why joining a church won't get you to heaven. That's why being sprinkled as a baby won't get you to heaven. That's why living a good life. Hey, we need good people to help this old sin-cursed world. Yes, we do, but being a good person is not going to get you to heaven. For by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourself, not of works, not of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. Praise the Lord, shame on the devil. Amen. Folks, there must be atonement for our sins. That's what John Baptist meant when he started preaching on the banks of the Jordan River. He said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world." That is, that Jesus will be slain, and that Lamb, I'm talking about that precious Lamb, will His blood, I'm talking about atonement here, and that precious Lamb will be slain, and that blood will be applied for our sins, to our sins. For without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. There's no forgiveness. Hebrews 9:22. Folks, you're not going to heaven because you're a Baptist. Please understand that. You're going to heaven because you have been, listen, saved. You've been born again by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. I hope and pray that you honestly, honestly repented of your ways, honestly repented of your sins. And through the eyes of faith that you trusted, you say, "Yes, I believe in God. I believe He was in the grave 3 days and 3 nights. And just like Jonah was in a whale's belly 3 days and 3 nights." Again, there's nothing you can do to get to heaven outside of Jesus. There's no sacrament that you can perform. There's no priest that you can get you to heaven, especially no pope, and especially some man in that old outhouse you go to and say, "Hey, Father, I did this." He ain't going to get you to heaven. Jesus is the only way. Amen. You and I have got to put our faith completely in what Jesus did on Calvary. Now, please listen. Faith is the root of your salvation. Works are the fruit of your salvation. Works is not the basis for salvation. Please understand it. It is the results of your salvation. How many of you did something for God last week? How many pulled over side of the highway and said, "God, I just want to stop. I just want to meditate for a little bit. I just had a bad morning." How many of us did? How many of us prayed? Don't raise your hand. How many of you prayed this morning, or before you came to church, or how many did you pray yesterday? What did you do? Could you name 5 things on your hand that you did for that you and God did last week? Works is not the basis of salvation, but it is the results of salvation. I don't work to get to heaven. I work because I'm going to heaven. I want to do something for God. Amen. Amen. There's been times. Somebody turn me down a little bit. Turn this thing off or something there. I'm getting the feedback up here. Thank you. There have been times we have some storms. And I tell you, I'm not talking about spiritual storms in life, which we do, and physical storms. I'm talking about this is Tornado Alley through here. And I mentioned this in a story about a year ago in my sermon. And it's so true, because I'm talking about the door. I'm talking about Jesus Christ being the door. And the only way, folks, I know we hear the sirens, some people go on the bridges, get in the cars, and some go to the bank parking lots under the concrete, and some people go to storm shelter. And there's nothing wrong with that. Please understand that. You see, it's going through that door that saves you physically when the tornado siren's coming off and the tornadoes. But spiritually, it's going through the door, and Jesus Christ is the door that's going to save you. Amen. Throughout the Holy Scriptures of Almighty God, there's warnings after warnings after warnings. And all He's saying, He is the door. And the only way we're going to get to heaven is come through that door. It is not being a good person, or it's going through the door. It's not, we got this idea of saying a little simple prayer, poof, we got a free ticket to heaven. Now, as Baptists, we're bad about leading people to the Lord like that. Bow your head, let's pray. Oh, you're saved, you're going to heaven. There must be a changed life. It must be a changed life. And there's so have you came to a spot in your life? There a point in a stop point in your life, and you in thought for a moment or two, am I truly saved? What did I say when I got saved? What did I do? How did I change? Do I still got some of those habits in my life that I did when I was a lost child? We're on that today, my relationship with Christ. Jesus is the door. He's the only way to get to heaven. Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. I just read it to you in John chapter 10, verse 7. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Now notice Christ did not say, I am the door. If any man enter in, he shall be saved. Now stay. He says, but by me. He says, but by me in that verse. He says, by me, if any man enter in. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now listen, Jesus said, by me, if any man enter in, being a good person, as I stated, ain't going to get you through that door. You can't work yourself through that door. You're in that door by the faith. I'm talking about by faith in Jesus Christ and Christ alone. He says, I am the door. There's only one door in the ark in which Noah and his family found shelter from the flood. There was only one door to the tabernacle, listen, which was God's dwelling place. So there's only one door to the presence of the heavenly heavens to get into the relationship with God. He is the way. Neither is there salvation in any other, he says. For there's no other name under heaven among men whereby man must be saved. What is so hard about that? We ought to shout this morning. We're saved. Are we not? Are we not going to heaven? Amen. There's only one door. There's no other way. Religion says there's salvation by works on your own way. Listen, church, 99% of denominations, I'm serious now, has attached salvation by works. It's a work thing. And I thank God, listen, there's no work thing taught in this Bible. It's Jesus and Jesus alone. Now once you get saved, you'll be wanting to do something for God. Amen. Religion says it's salvation by works. Christ says, I am the way. Do you remember Nicodemus, teacher? Oh, a great, respectful, religious teacher. In John chapter 3, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus said this. He said, how can a fellow get born again when he's old? Of course, we taught this. We preached this as a Sunday school lesson. We all know the answer. Hey, you must be born of the Spirit. What is flesh, Jesus says. What is spirit is spirit. Amen. Began to tell Nicodemus a story about the Far East serpents that came and bit the Israelites. Now turn there to Numbers chapter 21, please. Numbers chapter 21. I want you to look at verse 5. Notice verse 5. Amen. Y'all waiting on the rapture today? Amen, I am. Amen. In Numbers chapter 21, verse 5, the people spoke against God and against Moses. You brought us out of Egypt to die in the wilderness. And then came the complaints, there's no bread, neither is there any water. And sound just like your average Baptist. Right there. Love to chew steak on one side and complain on the other. Amen. Ain't it strange that we never seem to blame the devil for our problems? We always want to blame the church. Oh man, here it comes. Got to blame the preacher. My. Because of all their complaining here in Numbers chapter 21, verse 4, 5, 6, and 7, I believe. Listen, because of all this complaining and disbelief, God sent a judgment upon a people by the way of serpents. By the way of some snakes there. Now verse 6, and the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. And let me say, it took an act from God to get their attention. What is going to get the act of God to get our attention? That what we're supposed to be doing? And what is going to take to get America's attention? To put God back into our government? Back into our schools and our courtrooms? What is it going to take to get the churches right with God? Amen. Y'all stay with me now. Listen, I'm serious this morning. Every time we were open up the book, that's the holy word of God. That's seriousness. Right? Amen. Verse 6, and the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people. Wow. We have sinned against the Lord, against thee. Even today, we are experiencing many judgments from the AIDS epidemic and the earthquakes and the floods, extreme weather conditions and other disasters. Every time we turn the news on and something disastrous happened, I tell you, those are birth pains, by the way, at the end of time, Jesus is about to come. But listen, talk of repentance is laughed out by many people. I'm talking about even Christians. Now, what's hurting the true church today, and which is, I taught this on Wednesday nights, we are in the age of apostasy. We need to contend for the faith. But what hurts true churches today is pastors are not feeding the people all the truth. Amen. I said that a million times. Perhaps some of y'all sitting here this morning been mocking God. Oh, you need God when you get sick. Hey, oh man, I need God when our teens go bad or you lost a job, perhaps you got fired or your marriage is about to end up in divorce. But when everything's going well and all of a sudden you don't need God. Examine yourselves, God says, to see if you're the faith or not. I ask, what's going to take for America to come to repentance? What is it? Another 9-1-1 or what? What about the Western coast dropping off in the ocean? Oh yeah, we got scientists said that's going to happen one day. And the Lord said to Moses, make thee a fiery serpent set upon a pole, and everyone that is bitten, when he looked upon it, shall live. That's good stuff to me. I tell you, it's a symbolic picture of Christ. It's a symbolic picture about Calvary. By lifting up the brass serpent and rod, pictures the Holy Gospel. It pictures Jesus Christ. It's proven by what Christ said there in Nicodemus here in John chapter 3, verse 14 and 15, and Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, it says, that whosoever believeth in him shall, what? Shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Now listen, can you picture those Jews with the parts? Could you picture? We're talking about a million people here. We're talking about a lot of snakes. How many of y'all like snakes? You're a sick puppy, bud. No. No, I tell you, I don't like them either, though. I really don't. I just can't imagine. Y'all imagine days of Moses and Aaron in the 12 tribes there. All of a sudden, there's snakes all over the place. I mean, that'd freak you out. Trying to get on a camel, all of a sudden there's a snake in your seat. Yeah, and that thing's done hop up there, jumped up there, snakes in the tents and everywhere they looked. And God did that because of the complaining of the Israelites so much and so much and so much. You see, they started worshiping other things too. And God said, that's enough. Well, it's so amazing. This is not even in my sermon, but I got to tell you this. You see, how many times Israel failed God, and God did this, and they turned right around, and God got their attention, but they turned right back around and did something else. And did something else. And more people got killed. What I'm saying, let me just tie it into today. In our lifestyle, when we mess up, people want to shoot you. Baptists are bad about that. When a Baptist brother or sister gets wounded for the cause of Christ, we want to, not for the cause of Christ, but wounded, got out of the will of God. Next thing you know, we want to condemn them and shoot them because they messed up in life. Let me tell you something. God is the God of second chances. Because if he went ahead, he wanted to end the world back in the days of the Israelites. He wanted to, he could have. He could have just ended the world then. But his plan of redemption wasn't fulfilled yet. So you see, when God starts something, he's not going to just stop it. He already knew. And why do you think it's in the book of Revelation about all this hell's going to break loose on the planet? And 6,000 years ago, when Genesis was written. Now think about it. Now here's God saying to me, in the beginning was the Word. In the beginning, God. That's first chapter 1 of Genesis, verse 1. And John chapter 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then you drop down to what's that, verse 14, that tells you that Word became flesh. I'm telling you something, God knows everything from the beginning to the end. He's Alpha and Omega. And who are we to tempt God Almighty? Who are we saying that we're going to go lay out here half naked on the beach somewhere? Who are we going out here and shoot drugs and say, God, but I'm still saved? Who are we to go out here and support abortion clinics? Who are we to go out here and vote for a president that stands for the far left, a liberal, so to speak, the radical groups that mocks God, mocks your religion, mocks your Bible, mocks Almighty God? Who are we to stand and say, God, you owe me? Y'all see some serpents coming in your homes? This is amazing. This, I tell you, God is God is unbelievable. It's beyond my thinking, the majesty of God. That's how I should say it. You just get a taste of God, you get filled with the Holy Ghost. And I taught you all that. I taught you all that, being filled with the Holy Ghost. You know, no man has seen God. You see God, you're going to die. That's what the Bible says. That's how strong He is. And He's above my imagine. He's above my thinking and my ways. And I'm like this. And you are too to Almighty God. Y'all stay with me. I'll be moving on. So we see him telling a story about the forest serpents there in John chapter 3, I believe. Trying to get caught up where I was. And we're talking about the serpent on the pole as a symbolic picture of Calvary. You know why you think Jesus said, if you lift him up, he'll draw all men. Take your cross up daily, he says. There's a reason for that. Take your belief in Him. It's, and of course, we find serpents everywhere based on the scriptures within the confinement of the 12 tribes of Israel there. And the only way of survival from these snake bites was to look upon the brass serpent. Y'all remember what I taught y'all about the medical EMTs and the paramedics on that patch? Okay. With a stick and there's a snake around it. Okay, it's a giver of life. We're supposed to save life physically. And I mentioned that before in the sermon. We got visitors here. Remember, when you said I was an EMT when I was younger, and we wore those patches with that snake on that stick. And that's where they get the idea from. I tell you, that's awesome. That is awesome. That is awesome. Thousand was being bitten by sin, and all they had to do was just look upon the brass serpent pole that Moses was lifting up. So being in our time, you know, thousands, and I'm talking about thousands of people throughout. There's 7 billion people on this planet. 7 billion people, and listen, they're being bitten by sin, sin and disobedience, and for whosoever should call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And the only means of salvation was to look upon the brass pole. And the only means of our salvation are looking towards Christ and Christ on Calvary. And I'm talking about through the eyes of faith this morning. And every person bitten by a serpent who has lost in sin is, listen, is on their way to hell like I was. I had a free ticket. I had a free ticket of hell that day. Listen, if you just look to Christ on the Calvary, listen, you'll have a free ticket of heaven. I had a free ticket. And let me just add this to our little salvation, on the lines of salvation. I tell you, so many Baptists are bad because they can't get them to do anything because they look at salvation as a ticket, a far escape from hell, and then they don't want to do nothing for God. Now, somebody share with me from the King James Bible, the Holy Word, where do we find that? Where do we find that? Now, I'm trying to help us this morning. We got an evangelistic Let Your Light So Shine program going for the next 5 weeks. We already got some lights lit up. Evangelism, listen, is the birth. This is your back. Let me say it this way. That is your backbone to the spirituality of your church. If your church is not fulfilling the Great Commission, we're wrong, we're wrong, we're wrong. Our church is not about programs. I don't want program. Your church is about the Great Commission. It's going out into the highways and hedges and telling the lost people about Jesus Christ. It's not about numbers. It's about Jesus Christ. It's about precious souls. I'm talking about from the children to the adult, young teenagers all the way up to adults. That's what Jesus wants us to know this morning. Yes, there's a fiery serpent that Moses had, but Jesus took the place of this pole, so to speak. I'm talking about the old rugged cross this morning. I tell you what, have we been doing for God today? We had a good time yesterday, and God, I tell you, I praise God for that. We've seen people saved there. We've seen the movement of the Spirit of God in the services up there, and a lot of young people. I tell you, we had 29 and probably 15, 20, I don't know how many, probably about 100. Brother Terry, that was there, 120 young people there and just a handful of adults. I tell you, folks, what they was doing, what that pastor was doing, was lifting up Jesus Christ. Amen. So many times we see that our families are being destroyed, our children are being destroyed because we have taken our eyes. Parents, you have taken your eyes off God, and the kids are falling your ways, your attitude, your communication, your love. And I tell you, names, you listen, what you believe and what you practice is going to be magnified in and through your children. Please understand that. I'm not here to make you a Baptist. Amen. I'm here to let you know Jesus is the only way. He is the door. Amen and amen. So the only means of salvation to the Jews, the Israelites, during this time, because they mocked God, was by looking upon the brass pole with a snake upon it. That is so true. It's in the Bible, is it not? You know what's so sad is, well, let me just say this. The Israelites were to look and live, look to Christ, and all those who refused to look died. Right? Okay? Now, it's that simple today. Either you're looking to Christ as your Savior because you're a sinner, or you're looking the other way, trying to get to heaven by establishing your own righteousness. We sing, I love to tell the story. Oh, I love to tell the story to be the theme in glory. Yes. Well, how many people have we told last week about Jesus? And let me help some of you this morning, still putting your face in Facebook. Why don't you put your face in the Word of God? It'll stir your hearts. Amen. I'm going to tell you something. I've seen so many people hurt. Now, don't get me wrong. Now, I'm not here pointing people out. I'm here, there's a message that's on my heart trying to get you fully involved in God and Christ. Amen. We must look to the Lord Jesus Christ, for He's the Savior of the world. I don't care how many times you've been baptized, how many churches you've joined, listen, or who your father and mother happen to be. If you haven't been born by the blood of Jesus Christ, you're a hell-bound sinner. Plain and simple like I was. Amen. Hey, y'all getting quiet on me. Now, I'm preaching the truth this morning. You know, I'd rather for the man of God to tell me the truth, right? Amen. Religion is not Christianity. Religion is man-made. Christianity is Christ. As man lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up. You'll find that in John chapter 3, verse 14. Our problem is we don't like people telling us what to do. We want to live and have it our own way. Listen, every time you open up the Word of God, that's telling you what to do. Ain't it amazing? How can a true God called preacher, listen, I cannot preach all the, when I open up Bible, I can't preach without telling somebody what to do. It's in the book. It's not me. It's His Word. It tells me, I need not to put this evilness on my eyes. It tells me not to think about a woman. Huh? It tells me these things. It tells me not no filthy communication coming out of my mouth. It tells me that. It tells me that it's a shame for a man to have long hair. So I'll preach that. But we're living a day to day. Preacher, listen, don't tell me how to live. What they don't understand, somebody is telling them how to live. We're just, as I told y'all a million times in here, we're just messengers. Amen and amen and amen. Praise the Lord and shame on that old devil. We want to do our own way. Now please listen, trusting that somehow your good works might save you. You might have a problem. Please understand that. If you're trusting in your good works to get you to heaven based on the Holy Bible, you're going to have some problems there. Now if that's what they believe, all they have is religion. So what's the purpose of Christ dying on the cross for him? If we gotta work ourselves to heaven, if we gotta take communion, if we gotta get baptized 10,000 times, if we gotta sprinkle babies, you gotta have salvation, you gotta have baptism, regeneration, you gotta all this other stuff. So what's the purpose of Christ dying? You ain't looking at a Calvinist, I'm not a tulip. Amen. I might look like a tulip when I'm out in the garden over there at Brother James's house. Red in the face, look like, you know, a watermelon about to burst open. Amen. Amen and amen. And God told Moses, whosoever look upon the bride's servant shall live, in like manner the Christian live by begin by looking through the eyes of faith. So let us run with patience the race that is set before us, church. Amen. Look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Hebrews 12:12. Now folks, remember, salvation is by trusting, not by doing. Amen. You have one crowd is trying to get to heaven by works. The other crowd is trusting, which is faith, through the eyes of faith. As I mentioned a couple of verses at the beginning of the message, for by grace are you saved. What? Saved through your faith. Amen. Salvation through Christ and not works. Now turn with me again back to John chapter 10. Verse 9. Amen. Y'all still with me? Amen. Praise the Lord and shame on that old devil. God is so good, church. Please understand that. I thank God for this church. I really thank God for this church. Comments that you, I mean, you don't get me wrong. There's going to be, you're not going to have a perfect church. You know, but over 98% of the time, it's nice when you bump into somebody uptown and say, yeah, I know about that church, but I'm going to, you know, with my grandma down the road there. But I heard that was a good church. You know, we all been down that road. He says there in verse 9, I am the door, and by me, any man, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Now, I ask, do you want to get acquainted with a shepherd this morning? Well, you're going to have to come through the door. Plain and simple. For he is the door, for Jesus say, I am the door that leads to everlasting life. I am the way, he says in John 14:6. Now this ought to make you want to shout now. Verse 11, I am a good shepherd, and a good shepherd giveth life for the sheep. And that's how much, as I stated so many times, with agape love, that's what it means there in John 3:16, for God so loved the world. I stated this so many times, listen, that's how much you're loved this morning by the Son of God. Not only did he die, he says he is the good shepherd, and he is the door, but I laid my life down for you to have the privilege to come through that door. And listen, let me tell you, now listen, what I give my sheep, he said, it says right there, I taught this in Sunday school, he gives you, when you come to that door, everlasting life. There's security on it, security on it, security. If you mess up, you go a little backwards, you're not going to die and bust hell wide open. Do not let those false religions tell you because you fell on your face that you're going to die and go to hell. If you're truly saved, you'll come back to God. Amen. Amen and amen and amen. But let me tell you what I give my sheep when you come to that door in verse 20. I believe it's 28. And I give unto them eternal life. Now folks, if you could just get a hold of the message this morning, it'll change your life. Now please listen to Jesus. Please, that's His message this morning coming from His holy word. I want you to listen to Jesus' invitation in Revelation chapter 20. Don't turn there. I'm going to give you Jesus' invitation. Revelation 22:17. And the Spirit and the bride said, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Amen. Now, who invites the sinners to come? Jesus invites the sinner to come. Right? Now, folks, God hasn't changed. His message is still the same. The world may change, but God changes not. Listen, His judgment is still the same. His law is still the same. His character is still the same. Grace is still the same. The view of sin is still the same. What we're seeing 2,000 years ago is still sin today. Now, listen, you cannot get to heaven with your own sacrifice. Listen, you're going to have, and I'm going to have atonement for our sins, and that's where Jesus came in. God has not changed. Heaven is still heaven. Hell is never satisfied. And folks, one day, listen, you will stand before God like me and look God right in the eyes and give account for your life. And God probably will rip away that hypocritical mask you're wearing and bring to memory this verse, why call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things I ask you to do? That's my prayer warrior back there. You visitors, we have a man praying during services back there for the services. I believe it's Brother Scott back there. I appreciate him praying for the services. You say you believe in God? I ask, which God? Which God do you believe in? Whose God? What God? If you really believe in the God of this Bible, you shouldn't have any problems in the area of church attendance. Huh? Think about it. You shouldn't have any problem in this faithful being a faithful steward. Huh? Giving permissions and tithing. You shouldn't have a problem if you need to be back in church tonight. Now please understand, I love y'all this morning. God will not endorse sin. He will not. It will never be accepted. Washington may say, hey, same-sex marriage, but God says abomination. Please understand that. He will not endorse sin. He will never see, will never enter heaven. Please understand that. We cannot get to heaven with sin-stained souls. We got to be pure. I'm talking about symbolically speaking. We got to have our sins washed away by the precious blood of Jesus. God will not endorse lying, cheating, fornication, homosexuality, drunkenness, nor immodesty. He never will. Idolatry. Some of y'all are committing idolatry. That is putting things in front of your relationship with God, as the Israelites did. Idolatry. What is it that's taking you away from serving God? Thou shalt not commit idolatry. Is it your Babylon idiot box that we're worshiping? Or is it your grandchildren? Is it your children? Or is it your job? What is it that's taking you away from being a full-fledged 100% Christ-like person in this era of worshiping? Y'all know I'm here. I'm trying to help us all this morning, right? Let me ask you something. Why would we want to put before our children things of the world instead of things of Christ? Are we not putting seeds in there that may, there's no may about it, that will grow one day, that will quench the Spirit of God when they need to be in the right position, in the right time, at the right place, when God's trying to talk to them? Amen. Think about it, parents. Think about the damage we're doing to our own families when we put so many things in front of them. And then it's like, instead of God first, I think I shared this with Jesse or some other couple last week. Y'all know this, God first, family second, the church. But it seemed like it's you and what you want, yourself as flesh to extend, to make it through this life, and then it'll be your family second. It's self, self, self. It's always about me, it's about me, about me. And kids, let's go here to the lake. And then all of a sudden, God's third. And then when I was growing up, they have a tendency to see what mama has done with the relationship with Christ and what daddy has done with the relationship with Christ. And no, the other words, what I'm saying is quit bringing God down to your level. Amen. And a lot of churches are doing that today by their entertainment center. They're giving the social gospel out there. They're afraid to run off the people because they say, if you're a homosexual, you're going to die and go to hell. They don't want to say that. But that's what your Bible says. And parents are going straight out. I tell you, there's churches in town with good people in it, but they're being misled. Now, we are not supposed to avoid the sinner. If that person tells you they have a homosexual problem, you lead that person to the Lord. You please understand that. You do not avoid that sinner, but you avoid their sin. Because you hang around a crowd like that, you become one of them. You hang around a crowd that's got loose standards, you're going to become a loose standard person. You hang around a crowd that wants to drink and shoot drugs and everything else, you're going to, hey, church, you understand what I'm saying today? What do you call Christianity today? God calls an immoral lifestyle. You're not going to be accepted by God in the alternative lifestyles. God will not endorse sin, as I stated earlier. You know why most people have a hard time with church? There's a couple of things. And some of them know, some of them not. One of them, because the Word of God, when the preacher opens up his Bible and asks you to turn there, because that Bible convicts you. That preacher don't know your lifestyles. And if that preacher thinks he knows everything, you need to get rid of him. Amen. Well, I see those hands go up, put them down. Praise the Lord. Yeah, that's just my introduction. I still got another hour to go. Amen. See, I got too relaxed, I got weak the last three Sundays. And there's no pantyhose on this preacher. Amen. Amen. And all the men of the church says, amen. Praise the Lord, shame on that old devil. Yeah, because the Word of God convicts us and tells women how to dress like ladies and how to act and live holy. What's so sad is the preacher can preach on your sin. Instead of getting right with God, you get upset with the preacher. I was young. I've done it. Man, I had a hard time in that day. I told you all that. I had a hard time tithing. Man, I worked all day for that money. It was hard. I was an old liberal missionary Baptist then. I was a youth director and everything else, and I still had a hard time tithing. And God help us. You know, I thank God for putting me in, people in front of my eyes here in the windows of my heart. Those forefathers that took me up and polished me up, and I cried a lot about it. I wanted to quit the ministry. What do you mean I can't do this? What do you mean, this modesty stuff? What do you mean I can't go swimming off here at Griss Ferry Lake there in Heber Springs, Arkansas? And then they show me this. More, and that's more of this. Well, that verse fit me. And that verse says I need to be the example. Preachers, they give you their heart. They give you the message. I can't make you do what you don't want to do. I have to preach what God lays on my heart. That's between you and God. If you go the other way, based on the Holy Scriptures, just like all of us going to stand before God now, y'all know that. But you go the other way, listen, you're going to bring a reproach upon your family. And you husbands, if you're living a wicked life, you're going to bring a curse on your family. That's in here. And that curse is still in King David's family. I'm going to tell y'all something from the politics and what's going on these last days. I'll be closing. I don't want to close, but I'm going to have to. Because I'm trying to get y'all up here before the Methodists hit the restaurants, right? But listen, I tell you, I mentioned this Wednesday night. I mentioned this Wednesday night. And I told Brother Steve this, I believe. Me and Brother Steve, man, we're getting really fed up with a lot of stuff our government's doing. And Brother Hendricks will be here the next Sunday. He's a politician, man, pertaining to, I mean, he's ready to run for president. Don't ask him that. But there's a wicked spirit that's set across our land. A wicked spirit has settled across this land. Could it be that we have raised a generation that knows not God? It could be. Could it be that our forefathers, I stand corrected. Could it be that our past generation before that had carried on generation curses, now is it settled across the land like a fog in a valley? Amen. That wicked spirit has came across our families where dads don't even see straight anymore. Where mothers got to have that extra dollar to go out and do this and do that, and the kids end up in the daycare all their life, most of the life, where we just see our children just a few minutes and a couple hours a day, and then we want to know what's going on. There's a bad spirit across our land that even in our churches we're preaching like this. I tell you what, apostles' days, that's what the preaching style was, and it was rough in that, worse than that. Old John the Baptist told Slick Willie, hey, listen, you better quit sleeping with your brother's wife. Did he not say that? And he lost his head because he preached that. Oh, Bill Clinton, I'm on TV over there. Amen. Somebody's got to tell the truth. Amen. We ain't got enough preachers in this town that got enough backbone to say anything. All about this. It's all about money. God help us. A wicked spirit has settled across our churches where it's weakening out and drowning out the spirit of truth. Yeah. You know, if this is weak up here, it's going to be weak out here. Amen. And that's a proven fact. Miss Betty, was she in the nursery? Yeah. And she told us about her church back on over in New Mexico, Carlsbad, New Mexico, where the old-fashioned preacher resigned. I don't remember why, health or something. Then the new generation preacher got in there. Now there are NIV Bibles in there. Non-expired version. Church, listen, I've taught this in the spirit teachings. Now there's a wicked spirit across this land. It has settled. The devil is fighting God. And what stands between God and the devil is you. And churches like this really upsets the devil. It's a wicked spirit. It's a wicked spirit. Jesus Christ is the answer, church. He's the answer before we could get the power of God back on in our government. But based on revelation, these things must come to pass. Please understand that. Mark of the beast is right around the corner. Why do you think you have the... Hey, listen, folks, you got a spiritual battle going on. Please understand that from the internet trash all the way down to all the 200 Bibles out there that has destroyed the true Word of God. And some of them took Lucifer's name out of it. And then a lot of verses in there makes you think you've got to work yourself to heaven. And you study out your Bible, you'll find out the King James Version is the only way. And it is the only way. It is the only truth that we have today. It stopped at number 7 in the language, and it was English. And number 7 is God's completeness number. 7 is his number. Now, don't get me wrong. Russian, Spanish, and all this other stuff came off the King James Bible. I understand that. But what I'm saying, there's a spiritual battle today. Instead of, you got false religions out there saying Jesus plus something is the door. That's what you're saying today. It's crying. Hey, you got to shake, rally, and roll on the floor like you got seizures or something. Couldn't you see Jesus doing that? If my Jesus didn't fall on the floor with his tongue hanging out, I'm not going to do it. Man, I'd be a second grader could figure that out. What's this stuff running around like you got ants in your pants? But I tell you, I told y'all my aunt took us to a Pentecostal church three, four different times. And my brother wet his pants. Now that's fear. God is not a spirit of fear. There's good people now. They're good people. I'm not condemning them. I'm condemning the teachings. And while they're doing all this and running around scaring all the children half to death, I tell you, that's not the spirit of Christ. While they're so worried about snake handling and crystal ball glazers and all this, the trumpet's going to sound and they're going to miss it. They're going to miss the truth. And while these preachers are out here committing adultery, they're going to miss it. Y'all sit with me? Amen. Yes. Yes. Yes, she came here. Oh, my. My. Up there at the hospital? Yeah. And nobody, is that mocking her? All the sins. Yeah. That's so sad. Y'all remember Tammy? And this is very unusual during the morning service, but it's worth it. It was meant to be for Miss Ott to say that. Well, you tell her this church to stand with her and pray, because we're going to give an altar call, and I pray all my brothers and sisters will uplift Tammy and her grandchild. How can we say we love God and then reject Tammy and other families? I'm going to tell you something, church. Tonight I'm going to preach a message on the church. It's about the love of the church, about the love of a Christian. And it's going to go along with what she's saying. How can we say we love God and then we turn away because this person's black? Now, I ain't going to agree with their culture. And you won't either. I mean, there's cultures out there to freak you out, mess your mind up. But how can you turn your backs on somebody that's living in a house trailer? How do we do that? There's no Christ-like spirit in that. Amen, Brother Terry? We got to go to the black, white, brown. I don't care if they're living in the huts like we did when we witnessed in Mexico, and they're living in the sewage. I'm talking about literally sewage out of wooden pallets, out of cardboard boxes. You know this. This is out here at Juarez where I spent 3 days with Heather and Christy and I can't remember the missionary's name. That's been several years ago. But literally kids were playing in the trash. This is a dumb site. But we so society now, we got so high and mighty today that, hey, we'll just let the preacher go over there that side of town. All of us are responsible to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. If they live in the box, you go to them. Who was that went with me under the bridge over here? Was that you when we witnessed to the homeless here in your town? And now they got tents in the woods right past down the railroad track. You see, folks, I got to close this out. Ms. Ott, thank you for this statement. Christ says to lift him up with no strings attached. That means, well, I'm not going over there because he's black or that's a Mexican or that's a white honky. There's no strings attached. God doesn't see race. There's no divisions in heaven where there's Methodists, Baptists, Presbyterians, and Catholics. There's no divisions. There's only one way you're going to get to heaven. We're one happy family without sin in our lives. Now let's take the gospel that we was told, well, from the message, this morning that God has laid upon our life. Amen. Let's take that message and apply it to our lives. And let's go reach people like Tammy. I ain't talking about Tammy's saved now. I'm talking about let's go help people like Tammy. Well, preacher, I can't go. Well, pray. I can't get off work. Well, pray. Go down a highway, have 100 tracks with you. And I'm serious, we go on vacations for 3-4 days. Pass those tracks out all the way to the east and west coast. This preacher done it. And now some of y'all tell you probably done it in your past. Well, they can't go to your church because they're 200 miles away. God knows that, but there's a plan of salvation on these. You don't have to be there. They can just read it and get convicted. You see, Christ is the door. As Moses lifted up the serpent, your pastor lifted up Jesus Christ this morning as we stand. With every head bowed and every eye closed, this invitation is for all of us.